Now, friendship is another form of love that you spend time exploring in your book. Tell me what science has revealed there.
What's really interesting about friendship and what I love about friendship is, in a way, it's the love we underestimate, I think, a little bit. You know, we place romantic love on a pedestal, we place parental love on a pedestal, but friendship we kind of neglect a little bit. But what all the science is showing is that as far as our brains are concerned, as far as our biobehavioral synchrony is concerned, as far as the neurochemicals that are released when you interact with your friends, you love them. And maybe partly, I think here in the West, and particularly in the northern countries, we are quite restrained about saying that we love our friends. It's so funny. I spoke to quite a lot of British people and said to them, do you love your friends? And they would go, I suppose so. And then I would say to them, do you love your dog? Oh, yeah. You know, I love my dog. And it's just funny. We have this slightly odd attitude to it. Whereas actually, when I spoke to people in the more Mediterranean countries or maybe the South Americas, they are much more passionate about their friends. But what I love about friends is friends fulfill for us something that romantic love in particular can't fulfill. For women, a study we did at Oxford showed that women are more emotionally intimate with their best friends than they are with their lover. They are more likely to be completely open with their best friend and find that their best friend is their greatest emotional support, which I find fascinating. And when we look at men and they talk about their best friends are a source of relaxation and release. They're somewhere where they can truly be themselves. So we've kind of got these two people in a romantic relationship who maybe are still displaying a little bit to each other to keep each other attracted. But when they're with their best friends, they can truly be who they are. And I think that's really interesting. And certainly now we're looking particularly more and more people being single. You know, the rates of single habitation are going up. People are choosing not to be in relationships. Friends, in a way, are coming forward to replace that romantic partner for those people. Their friends are really their family and their lover.
You compare our need for love to our need for food and air. So why ultimately is it so important to us?
This is the argument that says love is not an emotion, and love is not an emotion. Love is far too complex to be an emotion. Even people who research emotions are like, oh, yeah, we can't put it in that box. It contains emotion. Obviously, it contains passion and affection and anger and fear and all these different emotions, but it contains so many other things. And really, if we look at it, and particularly its role in motivating us and the role that dopamine in particular has in motivating us, it seems to be more a motivation meeting a need than it is in fact an emotion. And if we look at the needs, the fundamental needs you have in life, they are, you know, water, food, shelter, safety. And there is a big argument now to add to that love, because if you don't have love, whether it's cooperating with your friends or it's love for your partner or your children, you're not going to get very far in life. You're not going to survive. You know, babies need love because otherwise they don't survive or they are developmentally very damaged. So we argue now that actually love is a fundamental need that sits at the very basis of that need pyramid. And it sits alongside things like the air we breathe and the water we drink and the food we eat. It's a fundamental life need.
So love it or hate it, you can't live without it.